Hope you brought your King James Bible with you tonight. Turn to 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel, Old Testament. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. This is good. Where's Brother Celier? This is good. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. We'll begin reading. I'll read out loud. You follow along with me silently. Would you stand, please, in honor to God's word? We'll begin at verse number 22 of chapter number 15. Verse number 22 of chapter number 15. We'll read two verses, verse 22 and verse number 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. I ask, dear Lord, that you would bless us tonight and help us, please, as we center in a little more and again tonight on God's word. So if you would please watch over us and guide our spirit, our heart towards truth. Lord, may our flesh not get the best of us tonight to fuss in our minds or decide that what we believe is right or wrong. Help us not to do that. I believe every true born-again Christian wants to, or at least at one time, wanted to only obey you and serve you. And I hope that tonight all of us will yield to that, whether we are or not. That is the right motive. That is the right thing to do. So help us, Lord, please, to be honest with you, to be honest about ourselves. Lead us and guide us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven. They're praising the Lord and watching the tide roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh, how I miss you so. And somehow I know if you could, that you'd let me know that you're doing fine, it doesn't hurt anymore. Things couldn't be better, and heaven is worth waiting for. That you miss me too, until then you'll be praying for me. And I know if you could talk to me now, here's what you'd say to me. Wish you were here, it's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here, nothing but clear sunny days. It never rains, no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time. Wish you were here. I can just see them walking on the shores together. They're talking with Jesus, safe and secure in His love. friends and loved ones walking in heavenly peace. And I know if they could talk to me now, here's what they'd say to me. Wish you were here, it's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here, nothing but clear sunny days. It never rains, no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time. Wish you were here. It never rains, no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time, and we wish you were here. Thanks. Appreciate that. Well deserved. I appreciate all of it. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I want to describe the story a little bit to you. By the way, I appreciate your patience this morning. You showed a lot of maturity. Some guy preached for like an hour and a half. I can't believe that. If that was me, I'd have got up and went home and had lunch. But you stayed and you listened to the whole thing, and I appreciate that. And so because of that, tonight I'm going to do my very best not to hold you near as long. Now, I've tried that before. I failed miserable. But tonight is a new day, so we'll try that one. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, we see a person here, Samuel. Samuel was the priest and he was the prophet of Israel. Let's call him the preacher or the man of God. Let's just look at it that way. For them, that's exactly who he was. Then we see King Saul. King Saul was the first king over Israel, by the way, chosen by God and chosen by the people. Everybody liked him. Great guy. Started off great. Look at verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And Samuel also said unto Saul, so we have the preacher, if you would, talking to the leader, if you would, the king, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came from Egypt. Now go to, now you understand, the prophet Samuel talking to the king, the leader of God's people, and telling him, this is what God wants you to do to the Amalekites. Watch what he says. Go now and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Now, God told Samuel, I want you to kill the king. I want you to kill everybody there. I don't care how young they are. I'm telling you, this is coming from God. This is not coming from the preacher, if you will. It's coming from God. When you go in here, because of the way they treated you, when you get here, all you want to do is pass through their property. You even told them, we're not going to bother anything. We won't drink your water. We won't take anything. If you just let us pass through. And they wouldn't let him. God still remembered that. And so God tells him, through the preacher now that Saul's the king, he said, do you remember what they did to you? Because of that, I want you to, when you get there, kill the king, everybody associated with him, everybody in the land. I don't care how young they are. Don't care if it's female or male. I want you to kill everybody, and the only thing I want you to do is just obey. I'm not asking you to understand. I'm asking you to just obey. Pretty simple. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Timaleh, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judea, of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from the valley. So he's talking to these other people, you need to get out of here because we're getting ready to destroy this place. Lest I destroy you with them. For ye did show kindness to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So now there was some mixture here. There were some Amalekites that would not show them any mercy when they came out of Egypt when they needed help getting started. Now there was another group of people had joined with them that did not do that to Israel. And he's telling them, you need to tell them, you need to get away from here because we're going to destroy everything. You got the picture so far? And so when they came out of Egypt, so the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Verse number 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites. What's the next word? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed. So everything they didn't like, they destroyed. Everything that was tainted, not much value, wasn't any benefit to them. They obeyed the Lord and they destroyed all that. But that's not what the Lord had to say. Look at verse number 3 once again. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. And he tells them exactly. When I read this, I thought to myself, I understand that. I wasn't confused. I didn't seem to be misled. I read this and go, I understand what he's talking about. From the king down, kill everything. Spare nothing. That's what he said. Don't spare. I understood that. When you read that verse, could you understand that? It's not that difficult to understand. King Saul understood it. He simply decided to disobey because he thought he had a better idea. You follow me? Now watch what happens here. The Lord came to Samuel and said, I want you to go to the King Saul and I want you to confront him because he has decided to not listen to me and not follow my advice. So I want you, preacher, to go to the king, this leader of my people, and I want you to ask him and confront him on why he did not obey what I said to do. You follow the picture so far? Great story here. Look at verse number 13 through 15. Verse number 13. And Samuel, now this would be the preacher, came to Saul the king, to Saul. And Saul said unto him, watch it. This is what happens when the preacher comes around. Teenage girls, here's what they do when they see me. Hi, preacher. Like they don't have anything wrong ever in their life. Hi, preacher. How are you today? You know, it's like that. Okay, here is the preacher coming to King Saul. Hey, preacher, how you doing? Yeah, everything's fine. Did exactly what God told us to do. Look at verse number 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Let's butter the preacher up. Okay, let's do that, okay? I have performed the commandments of the Lord. I wonder why the preacher's there getting ready to talk to you then. Ready? And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Oh, you follow the... Look, it was Samuel that told him what the commandments of the Lord were. Now he comes to him and he said, oh, you're a great man of God. Oh, God bless your heart. Kept all the commandments of the Lord. Huh. What's the bleating of the sheep then? What's the lowing of the oxen? He knew right off the bat that he had disobeyed what he was supposed to be doing. Now the king rebels against the word of the Lord and right to the face of the preacher. I mean, he's standing right in front of him. Oh, great preacher. Good to see you. Yeah, we obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Huh, that's amazing. What is that noise I hear? You got it? Okay, this is the story so far. How sad that Saul, the first king of God's people, get the picture, anointed by Samuel, the one who's confronting him right now. Samuel anointed him because God told him to.
So this was God's pick. He was anointed by Samuel, and we come to find, and he was loved by the people, and he started off so well. When you first hear about King Saul being picked, he was head and shoulders above everybody else in the kingdom. And when they looked around to anoint him with oil and make sure officially he was the king, they couldn't find him. You know what he's doing? The Bible said he's hiding among the stuff. Boy, what a great way to start that. If God doesn't make this happen, it's not going to be. I don't know how to do this. You, in our world, we say that's weakness. No, that's called humility. Big difference between weakness and humility. So we find out here he started off with God. He was humble. He was leaning hard on God's word. He listened to God's man when he said, "We're going to anoint you." He accepted his word for that, but he still didn't have that confidence. Sometimes it doesn't take us long to be on the way too long. We lose our confidence and our humility for cockiness and I can handle everything. And this is the king. So here's the problem we're running into. So often the very thing that a Christian hates when he first got saved, many times we find ourselves becoming what we hated. Let me explain what I'm talking about. I want to talk to you real quick. I'm going to give you a short outline here. 6 points and we're done. Going to the house, have a bologna sandwich, okay? 6 phases to becoming what you used to hate. 6 phases to becoming what you once hated. Look at verse number 22. First of all, simple obedience. That sounds innocent, doesn't it? Simple obedience. Sound like a big deal? Simple obedience. Look at verse number 22, that same chapter. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight..." verse 22. "Great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices." Ready? Listen to this. Listen. Now, sacrifices, we put a lot of value on sacrifice, don't we? Boy, they sacrificed this and our church sacrificed that and people gave sacrifice. And we put a lot of value and a lot of emphasis on sacrifice. Can I tell you what the Lord holds higher than sacrifice? It's not that he doesn't like it, doesn't that he even demands it at times. But can I tell you what is more blessed than that? Look at the verse. To obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. Just to do what God asks you to do is much better than you going, "Tell you what I'll do. I'll give 1,000 sheep. We'll sacrifice to the Lord." If you just obeyed. You have to understand, God is not asking you to do things that are so strenuous it cannot be done. And how am I supposed to perform that? Just obey the Lord. For example, when he says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of God is." And we're supposed to encourage each other and much more as you see the day approach. If you just obey that, you don't, revival's coming up. I better be there every night. That's quite a sacrifice. Why don't you just obey the Lord? Amen. It's like giving what you're supposed to be giving. Amen. It's like reading and studying because God said to do that. If you just obey the Lord, you wouldn't have to say, "Oh, I haven't read my Bible for 6 months. I'm going to start reading 30 chapters a day." You couldn't even read 2 chapters a day. But the sacrifice, somehow we think that will please God. You know what God said? Boy, if you'd have just obeyed. So God puts a lot of emphasis on obeying. Like King Saul, it is this part that trips us up. Listen to me carefully. Not great disobedience, but simple disobedience. Doesn't sound like a big deal, does it? Not great disobedience, just simple disobedience. Just the little things. Okay, so we kept the king and some good stuff. That's not what God told you to do. Why didn't you just do what God asked you to do? King Saul did not start off his, if you would, career or calling by worshiping idols, by calling upon a witch to get advice and leadership, which he did later on. He didn't start that way. He didn't kill somebody or go off in wickedness. You know what he did? He simply took a simple command, a very obvious command from God, something easily to be understood, and simply changed it to something he thought would fit better than what God said. We do this all the time. We do this all the time. Huh. I wonder if you have to go that far with it. No, God put it in there to make it a choice. It's the same thing we do with our kids. Going to give you 3 choices. Okay? I used to give my kids 3 choices. You know the story, right? 1 whack, 2 whacks, or 3 whacks. So what happens here is this. God simply instructed, ready? How hard is this to understand? Destroy all, spare none. Who in here does not understand unless you don't speak English? How many people do not understand? That's very easy to understand. Very specific who and what God's talking about. Amen. He called them out by name, called them out by who they were and what he's talking about, and said, okay, you got that? Some reason the king decided not to do that. Saul destroyed all but the king, which he said he was going to later. Do you know when he decided to finally say that? When the preacher showed up. Hey, look, we were going to. Oh, yeah, we're right there with you, preacher. Oh, yeah. No, we're going to kill that guy. Seriously, we're going to. I know that's what God said, and we're going to. When? You see, so God, and he took just all of the really good stuff. Anything that was defiled or tainted or wasn't quite worthy, I killed all that stuff. I destroyed all that stuff. Threw away all that stuff, except some real valuable stuff, concerning them, valuable stuff. More valuable for you to obey the Lord than get silver and gold. So what happens right here, look at verse number 8 and 9, same chapter, verse number 8 and 9. Verse number 8, you there? And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and God said, I want you to kill him. He took him alive. When did God say this would be okay? Folks, you do understand why we have a Bible? Amen. So we don't have to make up our own minds on what we think God would like or what God... You understand that, right? God has made it so easy, even children can obey the Lord. You know, I was watching all these little ones, just change subject, I interject a commercial right here. I was looking at all these little ones here tonight just running around the church, and they're all standing around talking about future things, you know, and revelation and, you know, and that kind of stuff. End of the world events, you know how little kids are. And I kept looking at him, and we were talking about all these little kids, Brother Van and I was, and they were all gathered down here, and then there's a bunch of them over here, and here's what he said. He said, that's one reason I came here. He even tells his friends, you need to watch the service on Sunday night. You'd be amazed at how these little kids act in our church. Amen. And how many there are. Yeah. Please understand, when you simply obey the Lord in training up children, being the way you're supposed to be in your marriage, obey God. Very simple. Look, God didn't ask you to do something couldn't be done. God didn't ask you to do something, said, all of you need to do this, but only a couple of you are going to be able to. God never did that. Amen. Same thing here with King Saul. He made it very, very obvious down in verse number 8 and verse number 9. But he didn't obey. He did not obey what the Lord said. This does not seem like it's a big deal. Okay, I want you to take the king. I want you to kill him. I want you to kill everybody else there. Okay, you got this? Okay, now go tell the king. So he obeyed, went and go told the king, and the king did not do what he was told. It just seems like not that big a deal. Listen to me carefully. Great disobedience begins with simple disobedience.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's worth writing down. It come from a real wise man that I know. Okay, this is the way it all begins. Simple disobeying over what we consider to be simple things. We begin making excuses for our disobedience by reassuring ourselves, it'll be just as good if we do it this way. Okay, if we don't go all the way through, we're doing most of it. Doesn't it sound good? Please understand, great disobedience starts with simple disobedience. Number two. He stopped listening. This is where we end up, many of the people you know, going back to the very things at one time they hated. They actually become what they used to hate. King Saul's getting ready to do that. Look what he says. Go down to verse number 22. Same chapter, verse 22. And Saul said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice and obeying the voice of the Lord. Now you think that'd be simple. Just do what God says. Just do what God says. I bet every one of these kids, well, no, if I say, do what God said, they would go, do what God says? That's what they would say. To obey, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, that means to listen, than the fat of rams. He stopped listening. The Bible said to hearken than the fat of rams. If you'd have just listened. If you'd just, that's why in Revelation it says, he that hath ears to hear, everybody has them, let him hear. We have ears, but we're not hearing anything.
Yeah.
We're just sitting here going through the motions. As precious as God enjoys sacrifice, he prefers obedience above sacrifice. As soon as disobedience enters in, which is sin, we do not ask for forgiveness right off the bat. We do not say, oh no, I've messed up. I'm going to... The preacher shows up and he starts offering excuses about his disobedience, and then he stops listening to the whole thing. You know, when a young Christian first gets saved and comes into this church, and people that I've known for decades now, they're very yielded. You know why? They don't know anything yet. Kind of like Saul when he first got started. Man, I don't know how to lead God's people. I'm going to go over here and hide among the stuff. Nobody will even know I'm around. Most of us start off that way. We're very humble. We're very yielded. We listen. We're very honest. People come right up to you and go, we're supposed to be tithing. Preacher, I haven't been tithing for a month now. Just out in the open. You know what? They're that innocent. They just want to stay right with God, so I'll just say, as we get older, well, you know, we got this excuse now. I mean, he'll just have to understand. It's what we do. And young Christians are very pliable. Amen. Very pliable. They're easy to mold to what God wants them. There's no fussing with them. They're very easy that way. However, when sin enters in that is unrepented of, everything begins to change. Like King Saul. What happens is they begin to question. Hey, I was wanting to know something. You never did that first 3 years you were here. It's not that we haven't walked down that path before. Now all of a sudden there's a question there. Arguments, defensive. You just won't listen. Even before I get it all out, you already have another question. And besides that, I agree with Mrs. Mullins. Miss Mullins in here? Where's she at? There she is right there. Mrs. Mullins in the parking lot that day. You remember the story? Preacher, what is wrong with these people? You got to love a woman who can say that. If they would just show up to church every time the preaching's going on, they will eventually get every answer they need from God. But when you skip church service and voluntarily do it, then you have big question marks in your life. Then you start to actually stop listening and you have excuses on why you didn't. You say, preacher, you're picking at me. Yes, I am. Listen very carefully here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 10. Proverbs 15, verse number 10. Proverbs 15, verse number 10. You see, obedience starts coming in. Disobedience enters in. It causes our fleshly nature and pride to rise up. When you got saved, you were very humble. You didn't know anything. The preacher will tell us what to do. Whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. And we just yielded to that. Just yield. Why? Because we didn't know anything. It's kind of like the first month you were on your job. After that, you knew how to run the company. But that first month, it was like, whatever you guys tell me to do, that's what I'll try to do. And the boss said, I like that guy. Then all of a sudden, a month later, you're going like, that idiot doesn't know what he's doing. And then they fire you. You go like, yeah, what'd I do? Why didn't you go out and start your own company? You're so smart. So watch what happens here. In Proverbs 15:10, correction is what? Grievous unto him that does what? Forsaketh the way. What do you think was going to happen? You're going to run into a lot of tough things when you decide not to listen anymore. He turneth away his ears from hearing. His prayer shall be an abomination. He won't listen. He won't listen. How hard can that be? Just listen. Don't just stare at me. Listen. Don't just say, preacher, I got him. No, listen's what you want to do. Go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. I know I'm cute, but look at your Bible. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. I know you have good reason on why you're not listening. But God said, no, you don't. Oh, I know you're going to come back to church, give a lot of money, work extra hard, help on the property, do all these extra things. If you just obeyed, God had been very pleased with that. So what happens here, Saul quit listening. He started making excuses for his disobedience and to justify his actions, even to Samuel, God's prophet and priest. Making excuses. Six phases to becoming what you once hated. Simple disobedience. Not great disobedience. Simple disobedience. That's where we go like this. It's not that big a deal, I don't think. That's because simple disobedience will lead, if you don't stop it, will lead to great disobedience. The next thing he did, he stopped listening. Number three, go to verse 23 and 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, look at verse number 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 23. For rebellion, what? Over something small, you're going to call that rebellion? No, God's calling this rebellion. For rebellion is as the sin of... How many of you moms and dads will allow your kids to practice witchcraft in your home? Go ahead, feel free, raise your hand. Why you let them rebel? A better question. Why do we rebel? God says to do this. Very plain. The Bible's not hard to understand. Sometimes it can be hard to live, but it's not hard to understand. The Bible actually is written on a sixth grade level. Did you know that? Amen. And we want an easier read Bible like the NIV or the HIV or the... By the way, they're lying to you about that. Watch this very carefully here. So in verse number 23, if a person is disobeying and has stopped listening, do you know what the next step is? They'll begin to rebel. So if this is you, by the way, if you're disobeying in simple things right now, simple things, simple. By the way, I was telling, might have been Ja'Kai or one of these guys graduating. I said there are three or four very dangerous times in your life when you can be misused by the devil. When you graduate from high school. I mean, you're a man now. When you get your license, you're by yourself and can listen to and go where you want. Number three, when you get your own place to live. And when you get married. I'm a man. You can't tell me what to do. First of all, real men don't say that. That's like a real strong guy going around like this. You want to know how strong I am? He don't need to do that. He knows how strong he is. So what happens? Here's this rebellion in verse number 23. If a person is disobeying and stops listening, they are going to rebel eventually. You say, what's the big deal, preacher? I don't get it. It's not like I murdered somebody. It's not like I robbed a bank. All I did was simply not. See, now you're fussing back. Now you're rebelling. Somebody's telling you what to do. Look, I don't want to come to you one-on-one and tell you, look, this needs to stop. I agree with Mrs. Mullins. If you just come to church and listen, you can straighten it all up by yourself. God, thank you for helping me see that, and I'll just change and do what you want me to do. So in verse number 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. You know, some people act like that's a prideful thing. Yeah, I'm just real stubborn about some things. Stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Whoa. We took it as almost a great characteristic. Yeah, I'm very stubborn about what I do. Well, that's nothing to brag about. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. It didn't say you misunderstood the word of the Lord. It said you rejected. You do that on purpose. So when you read the Bible, look up here. All of you looking at each other like, who's guilty around here? Look up here. Who's he talking to? That person? Talk to the new lady. She don't know what's going on. I'm kidding. There's more to it than your opinion or my opinion. Well, that's just my opinion. First of all, I hate being so straightforward, but I really could care less about your opinion. The first thing I want to know is, I understand, can you show me that in the Bible? Human wisdom and human knowledge means absolutely nothing if it's against the Word of God. Yeah. Nothing at all. Yeah. Korah against Moses. Just a difference of opinion? You know, Moses finally said, what is wrong with you? Doesn't it mean anything that God would draw you close to Himself to use you in this? I know what you're after. You're after the priesthood. You're after my position. That's what you're after. See, it finally dawned on Moses. Why would he do this? I mean, he's got this special place of up. It almost like Lucifer in heaven. Right before the throne of God, the musical angel, this bright angel that had every precious stone inside of him and wisdom from God himself. And that wasn't enough. Don't like that. So we sat in church and we judged the preacher. Ha ha. He didn't pronounce that river right. Yeah, you don't know how to either, but you looked it up on Google. You went there and it said, pronounce it this way. And you just went. I've heard people in Bible conferences talk like that. And you shut him off right after that. No, he didn't pronounce that right. He don't know what he's doing. You shut him off because he mispronounced. I had an English teacher in college that was that stupid. We just got out of chapel. And I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids in chapel service. And a great message was going on. We're coming back going, man, that was really good. The only thing she was concerned about was his participles were dangling. He put a used a preposition at the end of a sentence, which is, that almost sent you to hell right there. And I thought to myself, ma'am, you missed the whole sermon because he in his speech, he wasn't proper according to you. She would call up people who wrote Little Brown, which is an English textbook, and straighten them out. I had her as an English teacher my first year that was there. And Lord forbid, they were all sinners. Somebody tell me pronouns. So they're all going, this person, that person. Somebody said themselves, and I said theirselves. Now, if you don't know the difference, just act like you do. Okay. Everybody started laughing. George, she called me that, you can't. George, there is no their selves. Well, that's funny, I've used it all my life. She'd tell you. By the way, I ended up getting a B minus in that class because I killed myself almost. The children of Israel disobeying God and went ahead and sent spies over into the promised land and came back with a false report. Just an opinion? Just a difference of opinion. God saw it one way. Joshua saw it one way. We saw it a different way. Well, the preacher's a good guy. I just don't look at it the same way he does. I would love for people who say that to show me, how do you interpret that? In conjunction with all the rest of the Bible. You know, you can almost prove anything in the Bible. I can show you where Jesus was a wine bibber and a drunkard. Now, the people that said that were the Pharisees. But it does say that. There's all kinds of things you can show in the Bible, like unknown tongues. Ooh, that's spooky just saying it, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that something? Whatever. Now, number one, six phases to becoming what you once hated. Simple disobedience. Number two, you quit listening. Number three, you will begin to rebel. Number four, go to verse 23 again. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 23. You see there, rebellion is as witchcraft, and that, what's that word? Stubbornness is as what? And that's not good. And idolatry, worshiping false idols, that's not good. But we act like stubbornness, you know, is just like a, oh, well, you know, it's just a trait that my whole family's got. Well, your whole family is sinful. How's that? Saul was caught in his disobedience by the preacher. Look what it says. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the... Look, I'm standing right here with you, looking at you in the face, and you just told me you obeyed God. What is this noise in the background? He got caught right there, and God's representative warns him and points this out, and Saul sticks to his story. He sticks to... Go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. Look at verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed. Now, wait a minute. This is after he said, what's that noise I hear in the background? Yeah. He turns around. He says, I have obeyed the voice of... No, you did not. Right. Partial obedience is disobedience. Yeah. Watch what he says. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord has said. No, you did not. He's talking right at the preacher when the preacher confronted... Folks, look at me. I have a message that I preach sometimes. I don't mean to get off on all this, but... about all of the different things that God has lined up to stop you and keep you on the right path.
Yeah, true.
Okay? There is a person in heaven, and it's not Mary. It is Jesus Christ, who is the mediator that sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Okay, you got that part? You have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you. If you're a born-again Christian, God gave you that. God gave you a conscience. God gave you an entire word of God, gave you that. God has put all of these steps, this buffer zone, if you would, to help us. Do you know the last resort of stopping you and instructing you on what to do? Me. You're not going to listen to the Word of God. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit of God. You're not the intercessor. He's praying for you, trying to help you, running, interceding between you and God. All these great, you have a church. God's given you everything. And the last person goes like this. Don't be doing that. That's wrong. When you finally cross your arms and go, I just look at it different, you understand there's nobody else to help you after that. So what happens here? Saul sticks to his story and will not confess. And then he blames other people. Look at verse number 20 and 21. And Saul said, yeah, I have obeyed the voice. Look at verse 21. But the people took. Wait a minute. I thought you were the king. I thought the preacher talked with you. I thought God anointed you. I thought you were the one that the anointing oil was on. I thought you were the one that God talked. I thought it was you that God led the people by. I thought it was you. Now all of a sudden, whoa. Sounds like Biden, doesn't it? Yeah, the people just get on board. It's your plan, knucklehead. So watch what happens here. Please, now, if you voted for the guy, it's your fault. Now, watch. I've had men sit in my office and agree with me about them disobeying what they knew they should be doing. Here's what they'll say. Okay, preacher, you got me. Look, I'm not shadow boxing with you. I'm not tag, you're it. I don't play games like that. I don't take sides. If you come in as a married couple, I don't side with him because he's a man. If he's a man not doing what's right, I will skin him alive. And ma'am, you can turn off the waterworks right now. If you're the one that's wrong, I'm going to tell you, ma'am, you're wrong. You just shouldn't do that. I am an equal opportunity abuser. Now, here we go. Now. I've had folks very disobedient. Just simple, fixable things. It's not that big a deal. Come on, just listen. Let's straighten this thing up. And I plead with them and I try to show them Bible and what God would have us to do in character or our works or whatever the case may be, what God is not for. I'm not your enemy. I'm here to help you. Then all of a sudden they just stop and listen and they simply say, well, that's just me. Like that makes it all right. It doesn't make it all right. This is what King Saul is doing. Eh, you got me. That's it? That's as far as we want to go? Yeah, you got me? You're talking to the preacher. The preacher got the message from God. I'm using God's word, and I'm trying to let you know, hey, ding, 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 train's coming, train's coming, train's coming, train, ding, 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 ding. You see the lights? You see the arms coming down like that? Some of you drive around like that, right? Yeah, that must be for other people. No, it's for you. God doesn't want you to get killed. It's for you. Then every time, here's what happens. Here's where you and I begin to divide. Now every time you sit in here, and I even get close to that subject, here he goes again. Yep, here he goes again. Yep, I knew he'd come back to that sooner or later. Folks, listen to me, okay? You're really not that special that I have a commercial just for you. But I will visit your pew eventually. You ain't that good. So they determine not to change. You know what that is? Pride and stubbornness. I don't care what the preacher said. I'm not changing. That's stubbornness. That's like iniquity. That's like witchcraft. That's really bad stuff here. So you become, if you're not careful, you're going to become what at one time you hated. Those six phases, simple disobedience. Number two, you stop listening. Do you come to church just to be seen? Or did you come here to learn something maybe God wants to teach you? You quit listening. You stop listening. Then you rebel. The pastor is no longer here to help you. In your opinion, he's hurting you. When did that happen? You didn't come here, get saved, baptized, and joined because we started that way. And I'm still the same lovable, truth-telling guy I was when I first met you. Stubbornness. Holy Spirit tries to warn you. You know that bell that keeps going off in your heart and in your head? When you feel like the preacher's staring at you? Believe it or not, Soren, the guy behind you thinks I'm staring at him. So that's what God like, he's not talking to me. You have to understand something here. The Holy Spirit, Word of God, Pastor, you think they all have their finger on you, so why even attend here anymore if everybody's got it in for you? You know, the wicked flee when no man pursues. The wicked flee. Nobody's after you. You just think they are. Where did you get that idea? You did not come and join church and become a repeat offender, coming back here all the time because you thought I was after you and I didn't like you and these people had. You didn't do that. Something has happened to you. Stubbornness goes in there. So I'm about done. Watch this. You won't believe this. Number five. I'm on five. I only have six. Number five. Go back to verse number 23. All of this leads to, are you ready for this? Rejection of God's position. Yours. I'm not talking about your salvation. You can never lose your salvation. Never. Never, never, never.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you better hallelujah because listen to me carefully. Because if you ever did, you could never be saved. There's only one Savior. He ain't dying for you again. Hebrews said God will not put him to an open shame again. So if you ever lose your salvation, you're going to hell. You better be thankful there's eternal security. Look at verse number 23. Verse 20, you're welcome. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected, here's the reason why, you have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. His position. Okay, so you're not going to listen to me? You're going to stick to your guns? You're going to go the way you want to go? Then I can't use you. I cannot use you that way. You have to understand, you ever wondered why? When a person no longer obeys or listens, they become rebellious and stubborn. They have rejected God's position in their life. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's your Creator. He's your Savior. He wants to be your Father, have that kind of relationship with you. But because I don't listen anymore, I rebel. It's like your own children. The house is in an uproar because they rebel. Well, I don't look at it that way. First of all, don't ever let your kids talk to you like that. Don't let them talk to you like that. When will the modern day Christian, that's an oxymoron, get it in their heart when you do not obey God or God's man? That's preaching, ready? God's word. Nobody has ever left this church and said, you're a heretic and not preaching the Bible. Now, they may not be crazy about my attitude sometimes. They may not like the way I come across sometimes or even some of the phrases that I use. But you cannot go to the Bible and say, you're not preaching the Bible. Now, you may have an opinion, but you can't prove that in the Bible. You also are not listening to the Holy Spirit. When a Christian quits church, listen to me carefully. When a Christian quits church, quits doing what he knows is right, God doesn't hold you accountable for not doing what you don't know, which makes you more accountable at the Anchor Baptist Church. When you quit yielding and following the authority that God has provided in your life. Look, you want to call your friends in New York and want to know what they think about this. And you want to call your folks in Texas and want to know what they think about this. You help yourself. Just don't come and talk to me about it. I'm not the shepherd down there. They're not the shepherd up here. If you don't like my leadership, then go there and say, hey, tell me what to do. Show me what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to fuss with you about it. Just not going to do that. God has it all tied together. Here's what makes it tough in your marriages. Ready? I have a reason to be like this. Then you can quit your praying. If you will not forgive your mate, God said, I will not hear your prayer. See, they're connected together. Well, I'll go ahead and pray anyway. Help yourself. God's not listening. Your prayers are hindered. You understand that? When you say, I heard you preaching, and that's probably right, I'm just not going to go along with it. You are purposely telling God, don't bless my life, I'm not going along with your program, and God will actually go somewhere else and remove that position from you. When Korah disobeyed Moses, do you remember that story? Do you remember how often Moses said, it's not me you're disobeying, it's God? Do you remember how many times that was said? Do you understand when you actually disobey and or attack God's authority, you're attacking God?
Amen.
When somebody preaches the truth and you say, I just don't believe you, and I'm going on the internet and I'll prove you wrong, which happens to me all the time. You say, preacher, are you aware of that? I try not to be, but many folks are going to tell me anyway. Korah disobeyed Moses, but actually he disobeyed God. You follow that so far? King Saul disobeyed Samuel. But actually, he disobeyed God. Now, we have lost this in authority of God's word. I am not a king. I am not a tyrant. I am not God. He is. I did not ask for the position. I did not jockey for the position. I did not go to college to become a pastor. Nobody does. It's a called position. I did not call me. Actually, I was shocked when it happened. I kept telling the Lord, I don't think so. But here I am. 50-some years later, still screaming and yelling about the same things I did 50-some years ago. When Christians disobey their pastor, preaching the word from God's word, you're disobeying God. Why do you think I'm here? To entertain? I am very entertaining. That's not the reason I'm here. Do you know why I'm here? Because I'm cute. No. I am here because God put me here. You know why God put me here? For you. I'm not against you. I am here for you. You go to Hebrews chapter number 13. You'll read that in there. How that you need to follow and submit to those that have the, I know you don't like it, rule over you. You're supposed to submit to that. Why? Because he says it's good for you. It's good for you. Amen. If you simply yield to that. Here's what you have to, and then finally, number six. Ready? We're almost done. God will reject your position. Back in verse number 23, he said, he hath also rejected thee from being king. He rejected God's position over him, and God said, okay, then I can't use you in that position. That'd be a shame. Do you remember Paul and Barnabas? Barnabas got a hair in his nose over a relative and told the apostle Paul, I'm not going along with this, and my nephew's going with us, whether you like it or not. Paul said, no, he's not going with us. He's not good for us right now. It's just not good. He walked out on us on our first journey, and we can't have that happening. It's very discouraging. And Barnabas said, well, he's going anyway. And Paul said, no. And the Bible said the contention was so sharp between them, they parted ways. I'm talking about the apostle Paul. Talking about the apostle Paul. I'm talking about Barnabas, a spirit-filled man at one time. You understand this? They would not agree, and they split ways. That's shame, isn't it? Barnabas was wrong. Even if we didn't know the outcome, he was wrong. You want to know why? He wasn't the leader, and he should have listened. Now, afterward, it's always easy. I always like when people go like this. 30 years later, I knew he would do something wrong. 30 years later. Appreciate your prayers and understanding. But that's what people do. And so now, when it turned out right, Paul's on his second missionary journey, and he says, by the way, get John Mark, for he's good for me. Wait a minute. He's learned some things. He's matured. Now's the time. Barnabas, where are you at? He's over causing dissension among the church there at Galatia and causing all kinds of problems there with Peter, by the way. Causing all kinds of problems. And what's Paul doing? Paul's off winning souls, establishing churches, and spreading the gospel. You have to understand God puts men in your life for a reason. Not for you to consider whether you want to obey or not. If it's the word of God, Saul, listen to me. Samuel said, God told me to tell you. Okay, I don't have to. Charismatic people are so silly. God showed me in a dream. No, he did not. No, he did not. You know why we have a word of God? So you don't have to dream anymore. Besides that, how am I supposed to prove your dream? You'll have to trust me. I don't trust people that much. So, I wonder how many Christians were the people who God chose, wanted to use, picked them out, prepared them for a position, yet because of simple disobedience. Something simple. It didn't amount to that much. Why didn't you just do it? Somewhere they quit listening. See the progression? See where we're going with this? They rebelled against the word of God. No longer were honest or pure or were listening anymore. Why would you do that? They become stubborn. By their actions and their thoughts, they're rejecting God's position over them. You know what this is leading to? God can't use you. God can't use you. And that's not the way you started. You actually have become what at one time you saw it in other people and go, boy, that's not right. That's just not. Remember when you said stuff like that? That guy right there shouldn't act that way. Are you doing that now? Oh, I'm sorry. You have a good excuse. They didn't. You ever notice how we do that? Six phases to becoming what you once hated. Here's what you need to do. Ready? Stay obedient. Stay obedient. Yield. Stay humble. Stay teachable. Stay teachable. Look, there are people in this church right here smarter than I'd ever be if I lived three lifetimes. College graduates helping to run businesses, know all things about computers, study all the time. They're smarter than me. That's not why I'm the leader, because I'm smartest. It's because I'm cutest. No. Well, that would be true, but it's here because it's a called position of God. End of the story. Stay teachable. Secondly, keep short accounts with God. See, King Saul kept adding one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, and he never fixed that one, he never fixed that one, he never fixed that one, he never fixed that one. I hate to break it to kids that go to college and won't pay their bills. Somebody's charging them. Somebody's charging those brats, those spoiled kids, that the only thing they think about, somebody else needs to pay my bills. Yeah, well, I hate to tell you this. I didn't volunteer, but my tax is going to help pay for your bills. Keep short accounts with God. As soon as it's pointed out by preacher, the Word of God, Holy Spirit, your own reading, whatever it is, you need to repent. I mean now. I mean right now. You keep that account as short with God as you possibly can. Everybody sins, so don't look at me like it's been years since you had to do that. Lying is a sin. So you run to God. What did he say? You come to me. Come here. I'm not going to cast you out. I'll not get. I love you. That's why I died for you. I saved you. Now you come. Now I want you to be honest with me, though. Don't you tell me you haven't sinned, because when you do, you're calling me a liar, because I just said everybody sins. So God is saying, look, I already know. Now you come to me. But like our earthly parents, we think we have to have a story. If we cover it up enough, maybe he'll forget it. God cannot forget sin. He can only forgive it. God never forgets sin. Do not overlook the smallest wavering from what you know is right. Because one small thing will add to another small thing, add to another small thing. And before you know it, you will actually become what at one time you hated. God's first king over his people, chosen by God, anointed by God, by the first priest and prophet that Israel ever had. Head and shoulders above everybody, humbled at the beginning. Everything was perfect. Everything was. How can a man fall this far to where he actually is calling on the witch of Endor to help him understand what maybe God wants? Are you kidding me? You would turn to the world for advice about what God may or may not. What has happened to many Christians? It's very sad to me. Someday, if you're not careful, you'll find out that you too. You ever wonder what people who used to be real active in church and now they're not, what they think when you bump into them? I'll tell you what they exactly do. How's it going? Great. Man, having the time of my life. Yeah. What did you want them to say? Oh, it's terrible. I need to repent and get right. They're not going to say that. Just like Saul, I obeyed the Lord. No, you didn't obey the Lord. And the preacher's saying, now, come on. Well, are you accusing me of something? Yeah, I'm hearing the sheep in the background. I'm not making stuff up. You're not obeying the Lord. Come on. You're supposed to be obeying and helping God's people. Folks, listen to me. There are a lot of people, you know many of them, out in the world now. Used to be key members of churches all over this city and all over the world. I will guarantee you, they didn't start off that way. They go like it. Oh, okay, preacher, if that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now it's like this. You know, I was studying the other day and wanted to know if why we do what we do here. You never built a church. You've been saved for 3 months. You didn't start off that way. You were okie dokie. Hey, here's what we're getting ready to do. And you'd go, okay. Real innocent, pliable, yielded. And when you did something wrong, it just crushed you. You wanted to stay in fellowship with God so much, you'd run to the altar. Now, some of you have been in the altar in years. You have not been on your knees in years. King Saul decided, I'm not going along with the program anymore. I told you I was going to kill him later. What difference does it make? And besides that, what happened with all these? The people did it. It wasn't me. Now he's sidestepping his authority and what he's supposed to be doing. You husbands, God holds you responsible for your families. You understand that? You will give an account for everything in your home. It sounds like pretty weighty. It can be done. It needs to be done. We need to get back to that again. So I have a question for you. On any of those points, are you actually starting to become what at one time you hated? I'll never do that again. Boy, I love that preacher. I'll listen to him. No, it says in the Bible, I'm going to have to do that. Now what do we do? I'll close with this. There's a guy who used to come to our church. A lot of people used to come to our church. And he's a very, very, very proud guy. And he walked up to me. I just got through preaching on money and tithing and doing what's right. Come up to me. He goes, hey, preacher, been reading in the Old Testament. And it's kind of an obscure passage, but I think I found a way where we really don't have to tithe. What do you think about that, he said. I said, I'm not the one told you to begin with. I can't make you do anything. You know the only reason you're here tonight? Because you chose to. But if you choose to do that, let's just, okay, that's what God says. Let's just do that. It's a shame that everything you read about David in the Bible should have been Saul. Should have been Saul. He was the first leader. Started off right. David was chosen because Saul messed up. If Saul hadn't messed up, it would have been the... So it may have been the temple of Jonathan instead of the temple of Solomon, David's son. It's a shame. Do you understand what you might be messing up? All of those that may follow you, depend upon you, and use you as an illustration and strength for their life, because it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Help us, please, Lord, to understand. When many of us got saved, we were so thankful and afraid. We didn't want to go back there. We didn't want to get close to there. We knew how we used to fuss with people and fight with people and disagree with people and stand our ground. And we said, I got pride. I'm not doing that. We remember that. And then we got saved. Go, oh, my. I don't ever want to do that again. I don't ever want to walk down that road again. And if we're not careful, sitting in a church like this, listening to your word being preached by a man that you chose that loves these people, that at one time they were so pliable. If we're not careful, we become numb and then make excuse for why we couldn't do all that God said to do, as though it's almost impossible. It's not. God, please. I love these people. I've watched many of them grow up here. Now I'm watching their children grow up here. It would just be a shame that we just simple disobedience, and then one day it's great disobedience. And we got there because we simply made an excuse one night in a church service, maybe, and said, it's not that big a deal. It's not that serious. I just disagree. I look at things differently now. King Saul, you're going to be replaced by a young man who has my heart in his interest. As they